The game's going to end on this play. It's caught and into the end zone. Touchdown, Iowa! Holloway! A forgotten man!
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Forgotten Man, Forgotten Land podcast. We are a podcast and a blog dedicated to the underdogs. This week, we had the pleasure of sitting down with the Cedar Rapids Gazette's Mark Morehouse. You may also know him from his podcast with Scott Docterman of The Athletic called The On Iowa Podcast, which, if you've not listened to it, I definitely recommend you check out. Today, Mark and I talk about his beginnings as a journalist, where those came from, and we look at the 2019 Iowa football team a little bit while also reflecting a little bit on his series from last summer, the KF-143 series he ran on all of Kirk Ferentz's 143 wins leading up to his historic 144th against Northern Illinois. So sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with Mark Morehouse.
You bet.
Okay, excellent. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me. Sorry it's been like a year and a half of communication.
No problem.
I kind of have some general curiosity just about what kind of makes you tick, what makes you do what you do.
Sure.
So just to keep it brief so that we don't get either of our wives too upset.
it's the last thing I'm doing for the week, probably, so I'm
excellent.
Itching to get out of here.
Yeah, no, I hear you. So what got you into journalism? What interested you in jumping into sports?
Oh, that's a good question. When I was in grad school, I went to grad school in Iowa, at Iowa.
Yeah.
And I got kind of disillusioned because I was really poor. Yeah, I was learning great stuff, and I loved Iowa, and I have some really great friends from grad school, but I wasn't making any money. I decided, and I graduated from UNI, so I had a degree. I just kind of thought, this grad school thing, I don't know if it's going to really be a thing.
Yeah.
And so I got a job in Fairmont, Minnesota, and driving up, I was hired by, gosh, I can't remember the guy's name. I want to say Bob something. Anyway, they had two openings, and I drove out to Fairmont, Minnesota to live and work without knowing exactly what I was going to do. There was a sports opening and a news opening. I thought, well, let's just see what happens. And it was pretty obvious they wanted me to do sports.
Yeah.
And that's how I got started. So, yeah, sort of a happenstance type of thing.
That's cool. So is that something, like, in grad school, like, your aim was to do some sort of reporting or journalism, though?
No.
Oh, no.
Okay. I was more mass communication.
Okay.
Communication theory, more semiotics and literary criticism, just weird stuff.
Okay.
That basically was me trying to not have to do math. And so American studies became very, very interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
I graduated with English from UNI, English
okay.
communication.
Okay.
So at Iowa, I was in the journalism school and was going to try to just kind of make something out of it. Maybe be, I kind of, my first idea was to be an academic, but then I thought, you know what, this is a journalism degree. And
right.
Maybe let's go do that. And I was already working the Daily Iowan,
okay.
I was managing editor at the time.
Okay.
And so I was engaged in it. I think it was kind of, you know, the Daily Iowan, great experience for one. It is a student run newspaper. The students make all the decisions. And I think it's produced some really top level kids during my 20 years doing this. That really kind of lit me up. I wanted to do it then. And then 2 weeks later, when I'm in Fairmont, Minnesota, I'm like, it did snow 30 inches one day there, but I think on that day I went, there was a weird, baseball card store, and I bought, you know, I got a really good deal on the 1977 complete Topps, cards, all of them. So,
yeah.
So the 30-inch snowstorm didn't kill me, and
right.
it was a lot of fun.
Well, and it's a good story now for your kids and for your family. So,
yeah.
So what, in terms of, like, as you look back on your career so far, what are some of the more, like, impactful stories or stories that stand out to you that you've reported on?
Yeah. Well, my first day at the Gazette, I was hired to be the Iowa State football beat writer, and right. They had media day. But they also maybe some Iowa fans remember this. Former quarterback Randy Reiner's sister passed away in Fort Dodge,
that's right.
And my boss wanted me to go cover that and Iowa State football media day. Happy to do both.
Yeah.
And that was my first day, and I think I put 300 miles in the car, and I came home, and I don't think I was ever more tired.
Yeah.
But that day kind of opened my eyes, and then you know there've been some stories I've broken over the years, and
right.
In this business you have to be part spy, and because you need to be able to know what's going on,
mm-hmm.
you know, be able to try to get information, and then you know there's part of it just storytelling, and
right.
I kind of probably think that's probably my strength,
mm-hmm.
maybe, I don't know, but. you kind of shape yourself that way, and you know, you kind of get into it.
Yeah, well, so on the side of it, when it comes to being a spy, as you say, when it comes to receiving information that might lead you to a story, whether it's a source or somebody that you trust or just information you receive, at what point do you decide that that is enough to start working on a story or to start chasing that a little bit more?
It's quickly.
I'm sure.
There are a lot of chases, Blaine, that don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of documents, efforts
mm-hmm.
to retrieve documents that does sometimes go nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in that regard that doesn't see the light of day. And,
right.
and some of the headlines that I've chased over the years that never became headlines, we're not going to talk about those because they were not pretty, a lot of
yeah.
them. So that's the spy part. It's
mm-hmm.
just, and I joke around. It's not really spying. It's you're
yeah.
a reporter.
I understand. Yeah.
Finding stuff out and, you know, having the wherewithal to be mm-hmm. able to confirm stuff the way you need to confirm.
Right.
And that is the hardest part. And that's what separates, what's in my mind, what real journalism is and what guy kind of, hey, and I'm this guy too sometimes when I don't know something, you start to try to guess at something, but
yeah.
there's a huge difference between
yeah.
knowing and guess.
Yeah.
Obviously everybody knows that.
Yeah. Well, and in the culture that we're in now with social media moving things so quickly, there's a lot more guesswork that happens online probably than you and some of the people doing the work would like to see.
There's no guesswork. There's no guesswork for me.
Not from you.
I'll wait to write that. I'll wait to report that. Over the years, the waiting part, if I didn't know something, used to just drill a hole in my brain. Now I'm like, well, you know what? I've seen what can happen when you're totally wrong, and
right.
I'd rather wait.
Yeah.
And I do that an awful lot.
Yeah. And I just to clarify, I didn't mean from you. I just meant.
I know.
I observe, I see a lot of a lot of you all who do a lot of the reporting being sensitive at times and not at other times when needed to communicate with people how things work. So
exactly.
I think that probably is an interesting addition to your job. So I feel like a lot of people feel like they know you in a different way because of the On Iowa podcast and some of the writing you do, because there's so much storytelling in it. So mm-hmm. I was just kind of curious, when you travel to all these different campuses and stuff, do you have any standout stories, like as it pertains to like sketchy hotels or food stories or anything like that, that stands out to you over the years?
We have a million of those.
I'm sure.
Do not stay at Knights Inn, and we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
There is a scary town on the way back in Iowa. When we go come back from, Nebraska,
uh-huh.
Western Iowa.
Okay.
There's this town with a really kind of, I think, haunted hotel right by the Casey's. And so we see it and we're like, pretty sure that hotel's haunted. Gosh, I wish I could remember what, not Clark, some other, I think some other sea town, but I don't know
okay.
that. We had, you know, the stories that really kept me going for a long time in
yeah.
this business, the raw stories of just being overly tired in a car with two or three other people.
Right.
And just the idiotic banter that always brings out of people is fun.
Yeah.
Red Baron Pizza. I don't know if they even still exist. The very first Outback Bowl. This would have been
way back. 2003?
2003. Yeah. 2003, 2004.
Yeah, right.
2004
yeah.
Outback. Mm-hmm. 2003 team.
Yeah.
Tampa was really cool. It was like for just a new experience in Florida bowl game. I think that was the first one for Iowa, first one for me.
Yeah.
Or first one for Iowa since I almost said maybe the Gator Bowl. But anyway, Red Baron, they had biplanes and they offered to take up a bunch of journalists up on the biplane.
Okay.
So everybody got their own biplane and we did all the tricks.
Wow.
The hammer roll, something fang. And basically there was the hammer drop or roll. I can't remember exactly. We did rolls, but there was the straight up in the sky and then turning and then going turn. I don't think the motor was off. I don't remember if the motor was off. I'm not going to think about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, the pilot let the plane drop toward the earth. So your view is earth coming at you
that
while you're in a biplane.
Sounds
so,
pretty
that
awful.
Was kind of a thrill. And this is over the Tampa Bay. So
okay.
That was one of the fun ones.
That's
kind of
cool. Yeah. So when it comes to like, when you're in town or on campus, do you have favorite breweries or favorite places that you always stop to eat when you're in different places?
No, you know what? It's
is there no time?
Every year, I kind of make the hotel's reservations different every year, and
that's cool.
So it's hard to kind of get into a regular thing. We used to try to Matt and Madison Carbon 4 Brewing.
Okay,
they have good food and they have good beer, and we go there quite a bit. We've been there a couple times.
Nice.
Trying to think what else. Last year, I think we were trapped in Indiana quite a bit. One thing, Indiana, beautiful state.
Yeah.
Drive through it, it's a beautiful state.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that before. I kind of opened my eyes last year driving to Purdue, I think, and Kokomo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we stayed in Kokomo. So
okay.
Indiana was sort of, we were trapped in Indiana last year, got to know Indiana, but there wasn't a ton to do in some of those towns we were in. And, you know, so you're happy, literally, seriously, you're happy to get to McDonald's, get a quarter pounder and maybe a six-pack of beer at the whatever convenience store, and you're just happy to have that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Are you a coffee drinker?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you make stops in local places when you travel, or are you kind of Starbucks and on the road?
We try to, but
okay.
I'm not picky when it comes to road coffee.
Yeah.
Getting the
whatever
in the hotel is fine. Whatever is at Casey's is fine. Like Casey's Classic actually has a little hint of maple. So there you go.
There you go. Is your tasting notes. Yeah, I like it. That's cool. When it comes to like your stadium experience, I know that a lot of what you do on Saturdays is dictated on when the game starts. And sometimes you don't know that until kind of later now in the process. So what does a typical day look like for you at Kinnick Stadium in terms of your prep and then what happens right after the game?
So the prep is basically trying to leave the house early enough to beat the traffic. Or just to avoid the traffic. And
right.
You have to get to the stadium 3 to 4 hours early to do that. So you get there and there's not a lot to do. Last year, I like to walk up and down Melrose and whoever has the coolest looking breakfast food, I'm going to eat that. And then I share with, I almost called him my partner. We don't work together anymore, Scott Doctor.
Sort of.
We do share some stuff.
Yeah.
And radio show on WNT, the something pork producers huddle. I don't know.
Whatever that.
I don't know. It's Andy Peterson and on WNT, and we've had a great time with Andy over the years. I think last 3 or 4 or 5 years, we've done the tailgate on Melrose and Melrose, the tailgate show, and we have a lot of fun doing that. Then it's back upstairs because that's when you usually can kind of suss out who's not going to play.
Right. And yeah.
Hoo-hoo. That happens a little more than I wanted to anymore. But you have to do some serious reporting and you know, try to get lucky with some information up there. Right before kickoff. And sometimes I was very open with that information. Sometimes everybody kind of knows and they just say it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's right before kickoff. This guy will not be playing today. So. It's a busy day. It ends up being literally almost 12 hours of typing.
Yeah.
And,
I bet.
I'm pretty done at the end of game day.
Yeah.
The one that really killed me was, I know it killed a lot of Iowa fans too, just who watched it, but that, Michigan State, the last Michigan State game a couple years ago up there.
Yeah.
I think it was a 3 o'clock kick. Mm-hmm. Game gets over at 11, 8 hour drive home.
Yeah,
so
it's a long
day. That one left a mark, and never going to do that again.
Do you always drive, or do you fly to some of the further ones?
We fly generally, and I don't know what other media do on this.
Yeah.
Penn State, Ohio State are flights.
Yeah.
Bowl game, usually a flight.
Yep.
And that's about it. We drive everywhere else, Indianapolis, Indiana.
Okay.
This year, Michigan, we're driving to Michigan. The last time I played in Michigan was 2012. That was the last time the Gazette and KCRG were a company at one point,
right?
Together.
Yeah.
Same company.
I remember. Yeah.
And we used to fly to games. We used to charter to games, and it was awesome.
I bet.
One year we took a jet to Indiana, and we left Indiana at, I want to say 8:01 p.m. and we got home at 7:59 p.m. So 3 minutes. I'm still kind of trying to figure out when I get to use my three minutes.
Yeah, right.
Of life.
Yeah.
But we used to charter, and we don't do that anymore. And we're not companies together.
Right.
It was just too expensive. So
Yeah.
The driving has become more of the adventure, and you kind of just gut it out. Well, I don't know how many times I've been on I-74, but I know I can probably with my eyes closed drive to the Casey's in Leroy.
Yeah.
Or Leroy, however they say that.
Right. So when you do travel, do you have do you do music, podcasts, or are you still writing with Scott sometimes, or other folks?
Once in a while writing, but not very often anymore.
When
we used to travel with Scott, it was football podcast.
Yep.
with Halas, it's more sports games.
Yeah.
There's a game on, and both of us have, I have my Sirius XM app. And
oh, okay.
If there's any sort of game on, we listen to it. Part of the fun on Saturday nights is the hanging on to college football as long as we can,
right,
on streaming. And, you can get to be about 1-2 a.m. and there's some crazy game going in the West.
Yeah,
and
West Coast helps us out.
Oh my goodness, we've enjoyed a lot of those games over the years, and they have kept us awake.
Yeah, I bet
a lot over the years.
I bet. Well, and I know you kind of mentioned in the last podcast last week that you're just really itching to get back into football. So, what are you most interested to see this coming season for Iowa when it comes to whether it's who plays or who doesn't play, or the schedule, anything like that? What stands out most to you, or what are you most interested to see once the season gets started?
Well, it's a tougher schedule.
I'll
be interested to see how Iowa handles the road schedule this
year. Yeah.
You know, they don't have a lot of far ones. I mean, there's no flights for us this year.
Yeah.
But they have a lot of key ones. And
yeah.
So I think that's a huge factor going in the season. Stanley, focusing on improvement, he needs to improve.
Yeah.
And I he's very diligent, and I expect him to be that much better this year.
Yeah.
What really fascinates me in offense right now, 6 running backs. If you have 6, do you have any? I think that's kind of almost a fair question.
Yeah.
And, talking to Ferentz last night at the
Newbo, right?
Club event here in Cedar Rapids.
Yeah.
He said he needs to see more of Mekhi Sargent and Torrin Young, because they didn't carry the ball that much last year. Iowa became a little bit more of a passing team. They had 3 running backs that were trying to get in, actually 2, because Kelly Martin was hurt so much.
Yeah.
So they have 6 guys this year, 2 young guys who nobody really knows much about. I think that's I think if Iowa had, say, 1,000-yard-ish, 1,200-yard running back last year, probably at least 2 more wins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think so, too. I know that you're a big Deuce Hogan. You're intrigued by him a lot, from what I've gained from the podcast.
I talked to him via DM, and there'll be a post coming out on that.
Very cool.
Basically, just his recruiting, his voice. And he's an interesting young guy. Belongs to an atomic masculinity organization, is what it's called. And so basically it's very religious.
Okay.
And it's concentrating on building Christian men. And I
cool.
He also preaches at churches in around Dallas, I think. I want to say he's Dallas. Grapevine, Texas. I think that's a suburb.
I think it's outside of Dallas. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, cool. he's like a 28-year-old CEO in his mind.
Trapped
and
inside of
articulates
yeah.
himself really well, cool. and man, it's really fit well in recruiting. I think he's had a hand.
Yeah.
I hate to use it. Jay Christensen was really great in recruiting.
He was.
In 2005. He helped Iowa get a lot of guys. I think Deuce sits in that order. And 2020, you know, to me, the 2020 QB race is it's almost like waiting for a Harry Potter movie. I'm not a fan, but everybody else is. Uh-huh. And so I think, you know, the 2020 race is going to be fascinating.
Yeah.
You're going to have a couple of veterans. You're going to have Deuce and you're going to have a quarterback eventually, and that's going to be fun for everybody to watch.
Yeah. Well, they're always the most exciting parts of those off seasons, it seems like. So I'll be anxious to get to it. Well, one final question before I'm through. What was the thing that most surprised you when you were doing your deep dive into the KF-143 last off season? Was there a standout interview with the player or a conversation that you had forgotten about? I know that was a year ago. I'm sorry. Making you
I
dig
wish
back.
I would have been able to answer this last year.
I know. I'm sorry.
There was a lot. I mean, there yeah. was a lot. And but the one thing that really, it wasn't so much what I had done and seen and what Iowa and Kirk Ferentz had done and seen. Mm-hmm. That was all going to come out. I was going to pull that out. I mean, it was a lot of the memories that fans brought to the table.
Right.
And I wish we could have figured out how to gather that stuff. And I told them, you know, you're going to want to leave like a guest book type of thing
yeah.
for this on the web, mm-hmm. on the website. They never did, but hearing about people's rituals, hearing about the great breakfast sandwiches along our state, the people from Marengo, and I cannot remember the name of the convenience store, but mm-hmm. you know, hearing everybody's rituals, everybody's Hawkeye game day rituals
yeah.
and really how devoted the fan base is. And, you know, Nebraska gets a lot of credit for that, and they deserve it. But
yeah.
Iowa fans, I think, you know, I think there's a certain amount of crazy to
mm-hmm.
it, and I love it. It's fun to watch these guys. It's fun to interact with them. Not quite directly after a loss. But,
a little space.
You know, when we started to talk memories, and the KF-143 was mostly about memory.
Yeah.
I think fans really brought me some great stories. There's a gentleman from I want to say it was the Iraq War, or maybe it was Afghanistan. He told a story about, you know, Iowa winning a game and after he had one of those days where none of us ever want to have, and
right.
how much it meant to him and mm-hmm. how much it made him feel like he was still him there out in the sand. So, you know, those types of things, it meant so much to me to hear things like that.
Yeah.
And I have a lifetime admiration for Iowa fans. They helped me in my career, and
right.
they keep me going.
Yeah, well, and I will say, on as a reader of all your content, I've always appreciated the way that you do bring the story forward in a lot of these articles that could just be statistics or analysis. You do a really great job of presenting that and giving that space for the stories to come back. And I think that's a really exciting part of when I open the newspaper or when I open the app now, I guess. But so I really do. I do think that's appreciated that you open the door for those stories. So
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, and when I actually lived, I was living in Los Angeles, working in Pasadena when Iowa was in the Rose Bowl in 2015 and seeing all of the media and all of the fans come in that week and trying to tell my coworkers, because I was managing a coffee shop right off of Old Town Pasadena, trying to explain to them. Yeah, right. I was trying to say, like, you have no idea what's coming. And they all told me after they left, like, those are some of the best people that I've ever met. Mm-hmm. And they all wore black and yellow on January 1st and everything for me. And unfortunately, the game didn't go quite right, but the memory.
It was a great 7 seconds.
It
was,
as soon as McCaffrey planted his foot right there in the middle of the field and cut up field, it was different, but it was still a great memory.
Crazy good player.
Yeah.
Crazy good player.
Yeah, one of the best. Well, I don't want to keep you any longer. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me. Sorry, it's taken so many months, but I appreciate you being patient.
Hey, no problem, Lane. Thank
All right.
you.
Have a good one. Talk to you later.
You bet. Take care.
Yeah. See ya. Bye. A huge thank you to Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette for joining us and being a part of this conversation as we try to get to know what journalism is all about a little bit better. If you want to follow along or interact with Mark, you can find him on Twitter at Mark Morehouse, and please, please, please read his writings in the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Thank you so much again for joining us this week, and we'll see you next week. And we would love to connect with you on social media. So if you'd like to find us on Twitter, you can find us at 4man4land. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Forgotten Man, Forgotten Land. We also have our blog available at forgottenmanforgottenland.wordpress.com. If you're interested in downloading the podcast, we encourage you to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to find us on our podcast homepage, check out anchor.fm/forgottenmanforgottenland. Thank you so much, and we'll see you later.